A bit ago, a new book crossed my desk, and I thought it was interesting, and I put it aside, and then it took me a little while to pick it up again, and then I did and started to read through it. It's called How to Talk to Your Son About Fascism, and it is a guide for parents and caregivers and others with young men in their lives on how to talk with these young men about fascism and the right wing, which specifically and particularly preys on them for recruitment. The book covers the history of right-wing recruitment of young men, explaining why the right wing focuses on recruiting men both on a theoretical basis through the logic of movement building and then moves to practical analysis and suggestions for how to counter recruitment today. The author is Craig Johnson. Craig is an independent journalist and an academic who hosts the podcast 15 Minutes of Fascism. And we welcome Craig Johnson to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us, Craig. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Lovely to talk.
Very nice to have you here. Again, the name of the book is How to Talk to Your Son About Fascism. I made this connection, I think, a few times in the introduction, but let me ask you directly of the thing that comes out of the title is to talk to your son about fascism, not to your young person, not to your daughter, not to your child, but to your son. Why is that such a necessary designation?
Well, the book does address how to talk to young people in general, and also specifically young women, non-binary children, trans children. But the book does focus on how to talk to sons and young men, and that's for two reasons. Those two reasons are that fascism appeals to young men, and I mean that in both possible senses. Fascism appeals to young men because it's an ideology that is inherently male supremacist. It's an inherently sexist ideology, and so most of its recruits are men. It also appeals to young men in the other sense. It intentionally seeks them out in order to recruit them to join its ranks. And so young men are doubly vulnerable to being recruited to fascism.
Can you talk a little bit about that of recruitment? Do people find it naturally in the sense of that they are drawn to this ideology? Or most times is it an actual recruitment where there is a seed there that is watered, fed, and allowed to grow?
So in most folks, it's not like they have some natural, you know, innate, deep inside themselves inclination towards fascism. That's true for, you know, a few people out of 1,000, but for most folks, that's not the case. For most young people, it's simply the fact that they are living in a world where, like, fascist recruitment, fascist ideology is relatively powerful and palatable to people. This is because young people's lives are something that academics call downwardly mobile, which means that they know that their lives are going to be worse than their parents' lives. They're going to make less money, the planet's going to be worse, politics is going to be worse, all of those things. And there isn't really an adequate answer to those problems coming from left or progressive sources, which on the mainstream in the United States generally promote the status quo, which, again, these young people know isn't working for them. The right wing offers radical new solutions, quote-unquote solutions, right? They're not real. They're not going to solve anything. They'll, in fact, make things a lot worse. But young people are looking for alternatives. They're looking for ideas. They're looking for things that could be different. And fascism offers those. It offers lies, you know, in the place of truth. It offers horrors in the place of actual government policies, but it's appealing to people.
When it comes to age, what's typically the target age for the recruitment as you see it?
So the book was written with people ages between 10 and 25 in mind. Recruitment with different ages looks different. When we're talking about older people, you know, teenagers, people in their early 20s, it's pretty explicit. You know, they will be like very direct about talking about civilizational decline, or they'll talk about, you know, how feminism is destroying dating for young men. That's one of the refrains that they use a lot. For younger people, it looks very different. For younger people, you know, tweens, people in their early teens, it's mostly jokes. These things mostly appear via memes in terms of, you know, sharing anti-Semitic humor, quote-unquote humor, sharing memes that are sexist in content. That's primarily how young people encounter it when they're younger.
I want to get into some of the details of this, but who's doing the recruiting?
So we actually know their names. Many of them are people who have been online and been important influencers on the right for decades at this point. I'm not going to name their names because I don't want to give them more publicity than they already have. But a lot of these people are folks who have been involved in the extreme right wing for decades and were sort of floundering in the 1990s and early 2000s until the internet, which is an extremely powerful, very useful communication tool for all sorts of people, including, unfortunately, the right wing. The right wing is on record. Like I said, we know these people's names. We have receipts for them talking about doing this recruitment. If you're curious about that, you know, you can check out those details in the book. But all of which is to say, primarily we're talking about online influencers doing the recruitment there. When it comes to recruitment in the real world, a lot of these people are straddling the online and real world spaces. Primarily right now, the right wing is recruiting young men to its ranks in the real world via what are called active clubs, which appear on the outside to be, you know, maybe like a sparring club for mixed martial arts or some sort of fitness club or some sort of lifting club, but in reality have a lot of anti-Semitic, anti-women and racist content inside them when you actually join.
The perception, it seems, Craig, and what I often hear on this issue is that the radicalization happens online. And whether it be from violent video games to what is on YouTube or TikTok or other social media platforms, that these platforms will often reinforce these rightward tendencies. So how true is that? Do you agree with that, or is there more to it than that?
I would say that there's more to it than that. Certainly it's true that a lot of radicalization happens online, but that's simply because internet communications, you know, texting, internet forums, various apps that let people talk to each other, those are simply the most advanced means of communication that we have today. Back in the 1920s and 30s, people would have been talking about, like, well, a lot of this radicalization, as you know, happens via the radio or via, you know, mimeographed little pamphlets that people hand out. The problem isn't the radio. The problem isn't the mimeographed pamphlets. The problem isn't texting or apps. The problem is the content and the communication. The problem is that fascists and the right wing in general, they're actually very good at communication. They're using whatever the most advanced means they have available to them is. Right now, that's the internet, and they're going to keep using it as long as that's the most advanced means of communication they have. But the problem isn't the internet. The problem is the message.
Talk a little bit about the message. Is there an introductory message? Because that message has to... The message has to hit its target, right? I mean, it has to make sense to the person that it's being presented to.
Exactly. As I was saying before, and as you just pointed out, the message can't start out just full-bore fascist content, right? A kid who's 12 years old isn't just going to, like, click on a swastika and be, like, interested and very curious about it. Instead, usually the way that this goes is that a kid 10 or 12 years old sees a meme that's maybe anti-Semitic in content. And he laughs because the influencer that showed it to him laughed. And then he shows it to maybe some of his friends, and maybe they laugh. But then he shows it to his mom. And his mom gets mad and says, like, you shouldn't say those things. You shouldn't hear those things. You shouldn't talk about those things. You shouldn't share those things. And what the kid hears from that is, oh, I'm not understood. I'm not welcome. My thoughts aren't welcome. I'm not allowed to think certain things. And it produces in the young person this idea, this experience of being oppressed, which is something that fascism does on purpose. So they push this transgressive content on young people in order to get them punished for experiencing it, for seeing it, for sharing it. And the purpose of that is to give them the experience of being quote-unquote oppressed, which is something that fascism needs people who are actually very powerful and privileged to be able to feel or be able to think that they feel in order to convince them that they are, in fact, the underdog, that people who are really oppressed, minorities, women, workers, that they're the ones who are really in power and taking charge from the people who you and I both know are actually the privileged people in society. That is, white men who are not trans, you know, people who have lots of money, et cetera, et cetera.
So it's a gradual process that unfolds over some time. You mentioned, and I apologize, I meant to write it down and I didn't, but you mentioned groups like one of the most popular avenues right now is some sort of fight club. What did you call it?
They're called active clubs, and it's not a specific organization. Instead, it's a really diffuse network of people who organize online in order to get young men into spaces that, you know, if you were a parent driving your kid there, or if you saw it on the side of the road, you'd be like, oh, I guess it's a gym, you know, whatever. Things that look innocuous. That's okay. The real magic of this organization style. It appears innocuous, but its content is extremely right-wing.
So this was the point I was looking for in that, which is, this is where it goes from being online to being in person.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that's where that connection is made. Does that often scare people off?
So for some people, it does. You know, for some people, they think that it's cringe, you know, young person language for, you know, too much, too earnest. You know, they don't want to get involved. But for other people, it provides a real sense of meaning and belonging. You know, it provides friends, it provides mentors. And those are things that every young person wants, right? The problem with the right wing is that it does, in fact, provide community for lots of people. It provides meaning, it provides fellow feeling, you know, it provides friends, it provides things to believe in and want. And, you know, nobody can be blamed for wanting those things.
Right.
Almost everybody does.
So when it comes to what the book talks about is how to talk to your son about fascism, when do those conversations take place? I mean, I assume they can take place if you're seeing such activities start, but what about cutting it off at the pass before it even becomes an issue?
Absolutely. This is a situation where an ounce of prevention really is worth a pound of cure. In the same way that you don't want to have a talk about sexually transmitted diseases after your child has started to become sexually active, right? You want to have that conversation before. In exactly the same way, you don't want to wait until you see, you know, some weird stuff appearing on your kid's feed, or when he starts sharing a bunch of anti-Semitic content, or when he starts saying a bunch of weird sexist stuff at the dinner table. You want to talk about it beforehand. And there are a lot of ways to do that. Here, you can really lean on the muscles that parents, educators, caretakers have when it comes to helping young people deal with all sorts of other dangers that they might be facing, like drugs or sexual assault, things like that. You have to talk to them about it, and you have to talk to them about it as an equal, you know, as a mentor, basically, as somebody who has dealt with these problems before, somebody who really has something to say about where these dangers come from. The big difference when it comes to the right wing is that, A, most parents and educators and caretakers today have not grown up in the same kind of right wing ecosystem that these kids have. You know, when I was a kid, I'm sure when you were a kid, fascism, the right wing, was a weird fringe thing. Now it's in government. It's very different. The other big difference is that this isn't a drug. It's not sex. It's politics. It's something that you cannot make somebody think. You can't make your son think or believe something, right? You have to meet them somewhere. And this is where parents have to lean on empathy and understanding, as uncomfortable as that is towards something so heinous.
Also, I mean, the other point here, and we're just about out of time, but I mean, when you have these conversations, obviously a conversation with a 14-year-old is a lot different than a conversation with a 20 or 21-year-old.
Absolutely. Yes. When you're talking with a young person, primarily you're talking about, you know, hey, these are the bad guys. I don't want to hear that stuff. When you're talking with a person who's an actual adult, you know, 18 to 25, yeah, you have to be more respectful of their beliefs. Otherwise, you'll push them away, and then they'll potentially move further and further into this newfound family community that they're building.
It's a fascinating look about a fascinating subject, and the name of the book is How to Talk to Your Son About Fascism. and it is published by Routledge and part of the Routledge Studies in Fascism and the Far Right series. And the author is Craig Johnson, who's been our guest this morning. Again, the name of the book, How to Talk to Your Son About Fascism. Craig, thank you very much for sharing with us. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. You too.
Be well. Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book, How to Talk to Your Son About Fascism by Craig Johnson, published by Routledge. The Roundtable continues. You're listening on WAMC.